Star Robin Ottolini on November 20th, Virginia DeVegas on November 21st, Queens grad Charlie Houston on November 28th, Stephen Stanley with No Electric on November 29th, Bat Sabbath on December 13th, folk icon Garnet Rogers on December 14th, and local rap hero Slaves of Spanky on December 19th. And don't forget to get your tickets now for the big show by Canadian alt faves The Strombellas playing Kingston Grand Theatre on November 23rd. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com. And don't forget to donate to CFRC's funding drive via CFRC.ca, where you may win $50 vouchers redeemable for KPP concerts.
Cego.
Buju. Anim.
Danach. Anzenu. Shukwithan.
Tante.
Oi. Inuhadikai.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Sego, hello. Welcome to Words and Culture. I'm January Rogers, your host for this particular Indigenous language series celebrating Haudenosaunee languages. In our first episode, I explained that we are going to introduce you to some really cool and really interesting people who are actively reclaiming our languages. Languages that greatly suffered as part of the collateral damage perpetrated against all Indigenous cultures and people as a result of church and Canadian state colonial interference. We are actively recovering all that was taken from us, and our language speakers are at the forefront of that charge. Today, we hear from a group of Cayuga language learners and speakers who produce and host a radio show called We Are Talking on CKRZ-FM, right here on Six Nations of the Grand River. The radio show airs twice a month and is still a relatively new show to the CKRZ programming. The hosts get together to basically share and practice the Cayuga language on the air. So as a listener, it feels like we're being invited into a language nest of active learners. We get to hear the words spoken and used in conversation, which is a much different teaching method than seeing the language written on the page and not knowing how to say it.
And then also our review for our animal words.
Okay, I'll start that. Gunyate.
Turtle.
Nuganyago.
Beaver.
Gode.
Eel.
Dewistawi.
Snipe.
Oswant Gayo.
Hawk.
Skunyatiga.
Heron.
Ben, did I pronounce that correctly?
Skunyatiga.
Skunyatiga. Otahioni.
Wolf.
Dewahondes.
Deer.
Nyangwe.
Bear.
And going back to eel, gonde.
Gonde.
We're going to hear these language learners introduce themselves in their language and talk about their language journey. Nyawagoa, thank you very much to Ben Hill, Liz Claus, Tammy Martin, Char Hemlock Sky, and Shauna Claus for chatting with me at the CKRZ-FM station after doing their radio show, We Are Talking.
Scanos Wagwego, Tammy Nate Gyaso, Martin de Gesenase, Otehioni ne Wagishaute, Gayakonon ne Wakwenzote. For me, Tammy, I'd like to say that I'm still a learner rather than a speaker. I guess I've been learning my whole life. There were times there where I wasn't learning, but it was still sticking in my brain, I guess. And my parents were both first language speakers. They both passed now, but they didn't speak a whole lot in the house to me because I was the youngest. And my dad was in residential school, so he didn't make an effort to teach me.
Skanos Wukwego, Liz Nate Gyaso, Claus de Gesenatze, Ganyata ni Wagishota. My name is Liz. I first started learning a language when I was in grade school. I learned it from grades 1 to 6 with Mr. Henry and Reg Henry and Mrs. Johnson. they taught us up until they'd come in once a week, and they would teach us pretty much the basic. And we learned that up to grade six, and when we moved on to a new school, the language stopped. We didn't speak it much in the home. My father did speak some, but my grandparents, both sides, had been to residential school, so they didn't really teach their kids the language. So then that affected my generation, and then that affected my kids' generation. So it really affected a lot of people. You know, when you're a little kid, you're in school, and I didn't really focus on a language too much because of the fact that everything was spoken in English elsewhere and at home. And my attitude as a little kid was, why do I have to learn this that nobody else talks it, right? So that was kind of like my attitude about it, because I didn't hear it anywhere else. So it wasn't until I got older that I realized that language is a part of me, and I should know my language. I shouldn't be this old trying to go back to school and learn my language. This is something I should have been taught since I was little all the way up, and that I could pass on to my kids. I went to Six Nations Polytechnic to the Ongwehonwe Bachelor of Arts program. That's where I decided to go learn my language. The reason I went there was because my son had went into the program before, and he needed help, and I couldn't help him. So that played a big toll on me. So I thought, well, I need to learn the language.
We say Scano, and we say Scano for hello, you know, but what does that mean? It means, like, wellness, and we're wishing wellness to one another. And when I think about wellness inside of me, that's like homeostasis. And the only way that I ever really came about that thought was because of the language, like thinking about coming back to my balance, my Scano. So I'm Char. My language learning journey started when I was little. So my mom is from Six Nations, but my dad is from Cattaraugus. So I was actually born in Buffalo. And when I was little, we spent some time in Okwesasne. And during that time, there was some things happening in Okwesasne, and my family was involved in just kind of protecting the land there in Okwe. And also, I was one of the first students in the Freedom School. I was the very first of the first year in the Freedom School. So my parents helped kind of get that going. And at the time, it was Tom Porter was there, and Lance and Barbara Hemlock. So that was kind of my first, I guess, experience with language. And I don't remember a lot. I remember the feeling, though, and how good things felt, and the things that happened around there, and just how that made me feel. That's what I remember, having good people around us. I remember, I do remember ceremonies. There was another school in Cattaraugus, and the same concept, and so I also went there. So that was the same thing. I don't really remember, like, there was no structure, but I just remember the feeling that I had being around the language and being around people, people that were dedicated to our ways and dedicated to seeing our language and our ways keep going. So yeah, I don't remember, like, exactly all the lessons or anything like that. I don't even know if there was any. I just remember how I felt, and that feeling stayed with me.
The Freedom School Char is talking about was founded in 1979 by Mohawk parents who wanted to preserve the Mohawk culture, starting with their children. The Okwesasne Freedom School has led to an increase in Mohawk language speakers and the ongoing learning of intergenerational speakers. Our languages were almost completely lost due to cruel and damaging colonial attempts at assimilation through the forced removal of our children from their homes into residential schools, where our people were incarcerated for many years of their young lives. So there are generational gaps where our languages didn't get spoken at all. But language warriors like Liz, Char, Ben, and Shauna are working hard to reclaim and revitalize their language.
Scano Swagwego, Shauna Nikyaso, Claus Degesenatse,
ganyak de niwa geishout de ganyak kiono niwa kwenzo de. My name's Shauna. I grew up with nobody in my home or really within my immediate family speaking any sort of language. I learned it throughout elementary school. I think it was maybe like 25 to 30 minutes every couple of days, which was still very helpful and a very great thing to have down here in our schools. Yeah, so I had Nikki Sky. She taught me Kyuga language right from kindergarten to grade 8. And then I went to Gawanio for high school for one semester, so I had a little bit more exposure to language, which I'm grateful for. And then I really just couldn't settle on anything that I wanted to do. I went to school for a bunch of things, did some like film and television stuff, and then it really just continued to come back to language and come back to wanting to know who I was. So that's kind of how I got started here on this journey, and then I've just been going from there. I started last September with having like little to no language background, or like little to no language at all, and then just slowly have been developing my language, still learning every day, still have like a million questions every single day. My maternal grandmother, before she passed, she also was in residential school at the Mosh Hole, and she let me know, this was maybe a few days before she had passed, because I was sharing my language journey with her a little bit, and she was always excited to hear. And then she let me know like a few days before she passed that she's like, well, I would have known more because her grandfather, which I didn't know this, she said that he could speak both Kyuga and Mohawk. And then that's just something that she didn't mention to any of us until it was like she knew her time was like coming. And so yeah, that was just like something that I really held close with me, and I think that's really what has got me through this last year and to keep pushing, was just knowing those things. And I want to continue that, like I want to have language for my children and just bring back all of that knowledge to my family, because we don't have that in my family right now. I'm really like the first one who's kind of stepped out and been like, let's bring this back.
So this week's words, we're going to keep with the theme of liking, and we're going to go right into she likes somebody. So myself and Shauna will run through these words with you. The first one is Esanhuets.
She likes you.
Oknuhuets.
She likes me.
Undanhuets.
She likes her.
And Huanhuets.
She likes him.
So Huanhuets can mean she likes him, and also
he likes him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Huanhuets has a double meaning. She likes him and he likes him.
How about we go over them one more time, our new words?
Yeah, do we each want to take a turn, maybe pronouncing them?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay, sounds great.
Esanhuets, she likes you.
Oknuhuets, she likes me.
Undanhuets, she likes her. Undanhuets.
And Huanhuets, she likes him and he likes him.
Each language learner and speaker knows who first taught them the language, and they honor them. No matter what level of connection we have with our indigenous communities, if we look and listen closely enough, the language is there. I remember attending a recital of The Great Law by Chief Jacob Thomas. It's one of our cultural lectures, you could say, and there was lots of language peppered throughout that recital. So even if you're not a language speaker yet, there's still value in hearing the language spoken. And when you get to hear the language spoken often enough, there's a good chance of being able to pick it up, like a song that gets repeated on the radio. That's why sharing Indigenous languages on the radio seems to be such a good fit.
Skanos Wagwego, Ben Gyaso, Kyonye Kyono, Niwa Kwenzo De. This is Ben here. For language learning, hearing other people reminded me, I did hear it, not in the home, but in daycare. I forgot about that till just now. Here at Six Nations Daycare. I grew up off reserve in Brantford, but I was in daycare here when, you know, before going into elementary school. And Marge Henry would have been the first one speaking there. And I remember Lati Ki was a cook too. Actually, I don't remember. I remember my mom telling me that. I wouldn't have remembered that from way back when. But so that's my first exposure to language. I didn't hear it in my household, but when I go to visit my dad here on Six Nations, he would say the odd word, and if I go visit my grandma, she would speak it, but with somebody on the phone, I never knew who. Like, she was fluent. That was pretty neat. But unfortunately, I didn't learn it till later on. High school, they offered Mohawk. It just started, I think, when I was in grade 11 or something. So I took a couple of years of Mohawk, and I really liked it. I found it really important. It gave me a sense of identity. And then years later, I ended up changing over to studying Cayuga. Took some night courses here and there. I remember I was in one with Tammy, actually, at Polytech in the evening, just one night a week, maybe an hour or two, 10 weeks or something like that. But it wasn't until later on I went to Duare Oyesta Gayakono. That's the program we're all in. I'm an instructor there now, but I went through the program for a couple of years and was very fortunate to work with some fluent speakers and try and learn as much as I can. But yeah, I'm still learning. I still have a lot to learn, but I enjoy it. It's incredible. It's so much more descriptive than English, the Cayuga language.
We hear from Char.
I was really close to my grandma, and I would come visit her on my own. And one time I was 15 years old, I came back on my own to visit, and my grandma was talking with her cousin, and we were at her house, and she was talking English, and I could see she kind of got scolded a little bit, and then she started talking Cayuga, and I didn't know that she could do that. I didn't know that she was able to speak. So that to me is like my moment where I knew that is something that I wanted in my life. After that, I did ask my grandma, you know, little words here and there about what to say, but it wasn't really, I hadn't moved back yet. So when I did move back, I've been home 18 years now. That was the first thing that I did was try and take a class. So I did take a class at Polytech with Tom Deere. And it was just in the evening, same as Ben and Tammy, just evening classes. But I wanted to move back because I wanted my children to be raised in the Longhouse, and I wanted them to have their language. So my older kids went through Isle Thomas, the immersion school at the Cayuga Language Immersion Program at Isle Thomas. And currently my younger ones are at Gawinio in the immersion program.
Haudenosaunee encompasses six nations, each with their own language. There are some similarities and some differences each of these languages have in relationship to each other. There is Mohawk and Cayuga, which are the focus languages in this series, but there is also Oneida, Onondaga, Seneca, and Tuscarora languages. CKRZFM, the radio station here in Oswegan, which is the main village in Six Nations, has been airing the same language lessons for years. You can tune in every lunch hour throughout the work week and hear a short language lesson in Mohawk or Cayuga, or even Anishinaabe. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to our Mohawk language class here at CKRZ. This lesson is intended to help people learn common phrases in the Mohawk language. There are dialect differences in the Mohawk language, and those differences may vary from family to family and from Mohawk community to Mohawk community, and this lesson represents one of those dialects. We will now begin our lesson with transportation. Gagardenyas. Gagardenyas. There are four parts to this lesson, and this is part one out of four. Bus. Yagoya dagardenyas. Yagoya dagardenyas. Airplane. Degadas. Degadas. Baby carriage. Stroller. Oira'a agozerek. Oira'a agozerek. bicycle. Degeni deyoga kwan dunde. Degeni deyoga kwan dunde. Boat. Gahunweya. Gahunweya. Roller skates. Yoga guan daniunde adojina. Yoga guan daniunde adojina. Skates. Adojina. Adojina. Canoe. Onaget. Onaget. Car. Gazerek. Gazerek. Bus. Yagoya dagarenyes. Airplane. Degadas. Baby carriage. Stroller. Obira'a agozerek. Bicycle. Degeni deogah guandunde. Boat. Gahunweya. Roller skates. Yoga guandaniunde adojina. Skates. Adojina. Canoe. Onaget. Car. Gazerek.
That concludes our Mohawk language lesson. This lesson is intended to help.
I am curious about how technology is influencing the learning of our languages. And while we do use radio to transmit the language and language lessons, like the one we just heard, I'm really starting to think about the use of AI, artificial intelligence, and the connection between that and language. We hear from Ben Hill on this.
I always feel like technology is a double-edged sword because it can help. Like with me, the way I learn is really visual, and if I just had to hear it, it would take me forever to pick it up. But because I can read it, I've always been strong at reading and writing. In English, it took a long time to get comfortable with writing in Kyugan. I'm still working on it. I still make mistakes now, but that visual, seeing it written somewhere or in materials, I know it helps me. I know it can help others. I know creating resources like videos or audio is always helpful because we need to be speaking properly, so we have to hear it properly. We have to tune our ears to it. And then that takes time, or at least it took me a bit of time to get my ear tuned to the sound of it. But I say it's a double-edged sword because I know, I don't know, I've always been raised to be cautious with it and protective of it. And I don't know, we know that historically things of ours have been taken, our culture even, and monetized and made money off it. And that's not why I learn it. I learn it because I want to know how to speak and be part of keeping it going. So that's the double-edged sword. You could create all kinds of things, even programs, but I don't know. I feel like it can come back to bite us if the wrong person has the wrong intentions with it.
There is something to be said about making something so precious and so important to our identities overly available. If history has taught us anything in regards to what we make available to non-native populations, it's that a healthy dose of caution should be considered. We're going to hear more from our language learners, but now I want to play a song for you. This is End of Summer by an up-and-coming Mohawk singer-songwriter, CJ Montour.
Yeah. trying to get you to come to bed, but you were already out the door. I was just trying to get you to come to bed, but you were already out the door.
Was End of Summer by one of Six Nations' youngest singer-songwriters, C.J. Montour, who said he wrote that song in 45 minutes in his father's garage. What a talent. I'm sure we'll be hearing more from him. I asked the We Are Talking Cayuga Language show group what the most important part of learning the language is to them. This is Char.
Learning our language, for me, is the most important thing that I can do for my family, besides loving my family. Learning my language and connecting myself back to our ways. I always tell people that because our land base is becoming so small and it's painful to see sometimes, but I'm like, you know what? As long as we have our language and we have our ways and we know who we are, we're always going to exist. And yes, this is our land and it's getting smaller around us, but it doesn't matter where we are. If we have that, you know, we know who we are, and we're never gonna stop being that. So we're not just learning language to be just to talk to each other in Cayuga. It's not a fad. This is something that I feel like changes you inherently inside. It changes the way you think and the way that you connect to each other. And I feel like you can't really explain that and put that into words unless you're going through that process of learning the language.
Remember Liz from the top of this episode on Words and Culture? This is what she has to say about her hopes for the future of her language.
When I think of our community without language, it makes me sad. It really hurts my heart because our language is part of who we are. And without that, we're just like regular people. So we're all trying really hard to keep the language going. Spreading it to generation after generation, even trying to create new first language learners. That's a big step because English has played such a big part in our lives now that it's hard to omit it altogether. But what I see for the future for other people learning the language, more speakers being created, I think that makes me happy. And I can't wait to see the day that you can just go anywhere in the store, the bank, wherever, and you'll be able to speak your language and someone can answer you back and carry a conversation on.
Just imagine being able to carry on whole conversations in Cayuga or Mohawk or whatever your indigenous language is here on Turtle Island. You could just go into the store and ask them for the Three Sisters. Otsaheda, beans. Oneste, corn. Ona unsara, squash. Next time on Words and Culture, I will speak with language resource materials creator, Christy Talbot, who takes simple children's songs and translates them into the Mohawk language. I'll also be in conversation with other language learners and language teachers from the Mohawk and Cayuga language groups in particular. Niyawa for listening. I'm your host, January Rogers. Please tune in to the next episode of Words and Culture.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin. Soko seni denip e ninen yuji hina.
Echo say.
Kakuhutau. We'll see you again.
Hello, Kingston. CFRC 101.9 FM's annual funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Please consider donating today and help support local and earn the chance to win some amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, donors also earn one more ticket for each of our weekly raffle draws running in December, featuring prizes from wonderful local businesses, including Gray Malkin's Wireworks, McKinnon Brothers Brewing, Old Farm Fine Foods, The Screening Room, Skin Fusion Spa, Smokes Poutinerie, Paul Randolph Jewelers, Terra Natural Foods, Wit, and Thousand Islands Cruises. Enjoy the benefits of donating and help CFRC continue to be the longest running campus radio station in Canada. Donate today via CFRC.ca. KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM continue to bring the heat this fall with a stacked lineup of local concerts. At the Broom Factory, you can catch country star Robin Ottolini on November 20th, Virginia DeVegas on November 21st, Queens grad Charlie Houston on November 28th, Stephen Stanley with No Electric on November 29th, Bat Sabbath on December 13th, folk icon Garnet Rogers on December 14th, and local rap heroes Slaves of Spanky on December 19th. And don't forget to get your tickets now for the big show by Canadian alt faves The Strombellas playing Kingston Grand Theatre on November 23rd. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com. And don't forget to donate to CFRC's funding drive via cfrc.ca, where you may win $50 vouchers redeemable for KPP Concerts.
And good morning. It is 7:30 a.m. here in Kingston, Ontario. You are tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca for those of you tuning in through the web. We are located in the lower level of Carruthers Hall on the beautiful Queen's campus. My name is May, and you are now listening to What's Brewing. So we're going to kick things off with a group that's actually going to be playing at the Broom Factory on Thursday. So again, if you like this song, strongly recommend going to the show. This is No Bro with Doomtown. This is a single released November 13th. For those of you who don't know who No Bro is, this is a Montreal-based garage punk band. It's all women, which we love to see. Their previous album was actually nominated for a Juno Rock Album of the Year award. And as I said, they are playing Broom Factory this November 27th on Thursday. So strongly recommend getting out to see them if you have the chance, if you're in the area, or if you need something to do. After that, we have Rise Carmine with Second Love. This is off of their EP, Come In Closer, from November 12th. This is a Toronto-based psych rock with 90s, alt, and new age psych influences. This is in anticipation of their debut album coming out sometime next year. And they said about the EP that it feels like the live experience is under attack as we become more and more isolated and incentivized to be online. They believe that most people have an innate understanding that we need to see each other and be with each other live and in person. This EP invites people to come in closer and experience what it means to be human. So without further ado, we're going to get right into things with No Bro and Doomtown right here on What's Brewing, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca.
Remember
welcome back. You just finished listening to Rise Carmine with Second Love. Before that, we had Doomtown by Nobro right here on What's Brewing, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. Coming up next, we have Cootie Catcher with Gingham Dress. This was released as a single on November 10th. Cootie Catcher is a Toronto-based four-piece indie-tronica group, and they have inspirations in twee pop and synth. Gingham Dress specifically captures the ache of an almost love, weighted down by commitment, effort, and the sting of someone else's indecision. It's a line in the sand and a final step back that says, if this is going to work, it has to come from you now. After that, we have Xenon with Shower Floor, released as a single on November 14th. Xenon is a gender-fluid storyteller based in Calgary, Alberta. This song leans a little bit more R&B, and they have said that this song is about giving solace to our breakdown and emotional release in the safe space of a shower. This is their third single, leading into their upcoming album, Redecorating My Mind, which is about the freedom that comes with allowing change to wash over you or wash over us. So without further ado, we're going to kick things off with Cootie Catcher and Gingham Dress right here on What's Brewing, CFRC 101.9 FM.
Reminiscing He builds and I can't move. I'm stuck inside an endless loop. My hands are no way clean. I've done things that I just don't mean. Outgrown who I once was.
That was Xenon with Shower Floor. Before that, we had Gingham Dress by Cootie Catcher right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is What's Brewing. Coming up next, we have Thode with Sous Contrôle, released as a single on November 14th. This is their first official single. This is an artist based out of Quebec City. It's electro-pop adjacent, and it explores the tension between control and surrender. It stages that fragile moment when body and mind become misaligned and where desire, social norms, and the need to let go collide. Thode describes himself as melancholic, minimalist, and eclectic, and this is from his upcoming debut EP, Chimère. After that, we have Parazar with Remontada, released as a single November 12th. This is a Montreal-based rapper, and this track is a track of revenge and pride. It premiered on Planète Rap. It blends modern French rap, DZ sound, which is a reference to the pronunciation of the word Algeria in Algerian Arabic, and football culture, delivering a unifying anthem. So without further ado, getting into our last few tracks, we're going to kick things off with Thode and Sous Contrôle right here on What's Brewing, CFRC 101.9 FM.
Se mordre les lèvres, se faire de la peine, être un bon élève, celui qu'on appelle, faire les choses à la lettre. Si on aime, on achète pour faire tourner les têtes. S'oublier dans la fête.
À bout de souffle, la musique en boucle. J'aime quand tu me touches, puis j'ouvre la bouche.
Politiquement correct, une douleur. accepte. Vive de jour, pas de nuit. Ne pas faire trop de bruit.
À bout de souffle, la musique en boucle. Je continue mes touches, puis j'ouvre la bouche. La bouche.
Bala Michi Pantana, Bala Friki Tony Montana, au rap game appelle-moi Sultana. En équipe Tiki Taka, en technique Kimi no Kata. Jamais baissé peu katana, rends-toi pour éviter la kata. Tellement vu de vie, ceux qui m'envient veulent juste ma vida. C'est tellement vu d'un 10, un double 6, je vois juste les bénéfices. Vrai des aides, la tête passe là, touche pas au respect, c'est pas palpable. On change pas de veste et dans le mauvais temps, on est déjà un père moyen. C'est des fous qui voulaient jeter, mais je suis debout.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a selection from Hylia's new EP, The Piano Sessions, which was recorded with just one microphone and a grand piano. Local artist Hylia reimagines a collection of covers in her own unique style in this new release, and unlike her earlier recordings, the new release is stripped down and raw, capturing the intimacy and authenticity of her live solo performances. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream The Piano Sessions by Hylia on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Gold Dust Woman right now here on CFRC 101.9 FM.